good morning to you. Such a joy this morning to greet you and to be given this opportunity and privilege of sharing the word of the Lord. This is an awesome responsibility. I don't take this lightly this morning. So I've recently examined deeply the sovereignty, the sacredness, the awesome responsibility that lies with one carrying the word of God. It's like a weight on one's shoulder. And as soon as you release this word, the weight is off your shoulders. And so today, you are the audience. I am the audience. As the Holy Spirit would so beautifully craft into our minds the very life that exists within this word this morning. I bless you, family. As you get ready to listen to the word of the Lord, my gracious Father, I pray this morning that you would give us attentive ears, receptive hearts, that we will hear your word, receive your word, meditate upon your word, process your word, apply the word, wash our lives and our minds with the word of God, and then scatter this word over the lives of those people that we influence, those people that we come in contact with, and even those that are in our family. That we endeavor today to be your mouthpiece to a dying world. So bless us today, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning on the spiritual father, spiritual son dyad. The spiritual father and the spiritual son dyad. Not so long ago, I released two teachings on the essence of a biological father. I released that on Father's Day. And thereafter, I spoke on the fatherhood of God. I'm certain these teachings help many of you to take note of the salient points covered. After the teachings on this current series that I want to do, talking about the spiritual father and a profile of a spiritual son, or rather the profile of a spiritual father and the order of a spiritual son, I intend returning on talking further on the subject God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I have that impression in my spirit man that I have to elaborate more on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I feel that all of us need to develop a meaningful and a strong relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I am very passionate to address you on this very interesting subject because the vision placed in my heart is to bring sons to glory according to Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. The verse confirms that this is the desire of God also when you read the scripture. It is so essential, beloved, that the vision in my heart aligns to the desire of Abba Father. The vision in my heart must align to the desire of Abba Father. When I pioneered GMDS, then known as Team Outreach Fellowship, on the 4th of July, 1999, the doctrine of sonship was deeply embedded into the very fiber of my being. I toiled desperately to accomplish this, but I was bogged down by the fact that I had not developed a substantial relationship with Abba Father. Until then, I struggled. I knew God, but I didn't know Father. I knew God, but I did not know Father. As mentioned in my last teaching, one can only know Father through the Son. The Son is the way to the Father. The Son reveals the truth about Father. And the Son is the life connection between Heavenly Father and me. The Son has deputized his executive dealings with me in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, my relationship with the Holy Spirit is of paramount importance in order to have a relationship with the Son and the Father. It is the Holy Spirit that shows the secrets of the Father to me. That's found in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. I urge you to go and read verse 9, 10, 11 and 12. It is the Holy Spirit that shows me the secrets of the Father. That's why it's very important that I build a meaningful relationship with the Holy Spirit. I understand who he is. I understand his dealings. I understand his role. I understand his work in the earth. It's so important. Now, 21 years later, I am requesting from the Holy Spirit to help me regain the passion to transition you, the church, into spiritual sonship. Beloved, this is the only model that is needed in this end time. It is the only model that will save us. Him that endures to the end will be saved. The only model I know that comes from the heart of the Father was the model that Jesus put on display. We cannot argue on the integrity and authenticity of Scripture. It's settled. We all allow ourselves to be guided by the canon of Scriptures. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is inspired and given by God and is useful to teach us what is true. I'm paraphrasing. All Scripture is inspired. So when we go to Scripture and we read Scriptures about the model of Father and Son, we have to take that Scripture, use it as a text, and see what it is teaching us about Father and Son, and we have to apply it to our lives. Now, the Father-Son model is a template, is a specimen, example that we have to adhere to. Whatever is in the heart of the Father is what I want to apply in my life and also in my teaching you, bringing this model to you very, very faithfully. Now, the Father-Son diet is our Christology. Say that after me. The Father-Son diet is our Christology. Our understanding of this doctrine is foundational in having a relationship with Abba Father. If you don't know the Son, you won't get to the Father. If you want to know the Father without the Son, you can't get there. The Father only responds when we come in the name of the Son. Okay? We can't want to know the Son and not know the Father, because the Son is a pointer. The Son is the direction. The Son is the way. The Son is the truth and the life. We need to get to the Father. So it's so important that this is maintained in our understanding of our walk and relationship with God. Jesus, as the pattern Son in his incarnational sonship, was first the Son of Man. He was the Son of Joseph before he was Son of God. Joseph was a representative father who prepared Jesus for 30 years before he was approved as a Son of God at the River Jordan. After his baptism, found in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, this tells me that sons are not commodities found on retail shelves waiting for spiritual leaders to go shopping. Neither does a person decide when or she is eligible son. As in the case of Jesus, our template or our model or our example. Fathers approve sons. This is very important today, beloved, as there are many sinister agendas conjured up in the hearts of charlatans disguising as fathers. Be careful. If any initiative or relationship in this regard is not birthed on the premise of Christ, I repeat, the premise of Christ, then run for your life. You will not only be saving yourself, but you will be saving your spouse and saving your children. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is what the Word of God says. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by the Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So there are 2 points I gather from this. Number one, our Father still speaks to us. He wants to speak to us. What meaningful relationship is there if we don't hear our Father speak to us? So he wants to speak to us, but in these last days, he doesn't want to speak to us through the prophets, to the past fathers, or to any other means. In these last days, he's going to speak to us in his Son. The Word of God tells us in John 14 verse 6 that the Son is the only way to the Father. And I've spoken about that earlier on. If we go to 2 John chapter 1 verse 9, the Word of God tells us, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God the Father. So in order to build a relationship with God the Father, you can't just be casual about the doctrine of Christ. You can't just be one who just wants to listen to messages on the doctrine of Christ. You can't just be one who is not serious about it. The Bible says you got to abide in the doctrine of Christ. When I see the word abide, it talks about permanency. You can't just visit this doctrine. You can't just have a fling with this doctrine. You can't be casual with this doctrine. You got to enter marriage with this doctrine as a son of God. If you just want to be a church member, it's fine. Stay where you are. If you just want to be discipled, it's fine. We can teach you and disciple you. But when you want to be a son of God and enter this third level, this deep relationship with God the Father, then you got to abide in the doctrine of Christ. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. I've preached about this. I've taught about this before. Even used the board to put on some of these concepts. But we've not seen it incarnated into lifestyle of the believers. We are not seeing it come out clearly in the life of believers. We are not seeing it happen the way God wants it to happen in the life of believers. And so I'm asking you today, let's revisit this doctrine of Christ again and bring in the Father and the Son into your life, into your lifestyle, into your family, into your marriage, into your business, into your work environment, into the future, into your plans. Just allow yourself to be washed with the Father and the Son. Therefore, because of this scripture, our culture of Christ is the foundation of our existence. And this foundation is Father and Son. We cannot escape from this culture, beloved. It is in this culture we secure our identity as sons. So many people are walking about not knowing who they are. And that's why a whole host of things are compounding upon you, controlling you, imprisoning you, dictating to you, because you don't know who you are. The doctrine of Christ, which is Father and Son, this is a relationship Heavenly Father wants with his sons. You and I, must have this relationship. Yes, you have a spiritual father that has a role to play. He has a limited role to play. You have a biological father. He has a role to play. He administers, he's a steward over your welfare. Your spiritual father is a steward over your spiritual welfare. But your heavenly father is your all in all. Oh my God, I bless you today. The present judgment, beloved, of God on the church is that the church must return to the original intent and design of Father. That is, we must build sonship on the foundation of Christ. These are the last days. God is positioning sons with accuracy through mentoring and fathering. These sons must be formed for father by those legitimate Christ-centered personnel. No man will be praised. No smell of flesh will be tolerated. These end-time spiritual leaders must be the doulos of God. Ivan Apana, as a leader over GMDS, must be a prisoner of God, must be the doulos of God, must be the slave of holiness. Yes, otherwise he's not worth having at the head of the body of Christ at GMDS. Through sound mentoring and fathering, God is building his church with accuracy so that he can prepare a people who carry the right ingredients to take nations in this last day. You can hear the cry of people. You can almost hear the cry of each nation asking God, asking for help. Some of them don't know which way to turn to. But you and I know that we have a Father, and that we can cry to our Father, and our Father will hear us, and our Father will prepare a table for us in the midst of all the calamities that are lying ahead of us. Man, we've got to stand in the gap for those nations that need to see the light in you and I. Let me talk a little bit about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. It is important for us to understand how the relationship works between God the Father and God the Son. This will give us insight concerning the way in which we must walk in godly relationships with each other. We must be careful, beloved, to pay attention, because he has spoken to us by his Son in Hebrews 1:2. It is not only from Jesus' words we must find life, but also from the example of his way of life. Otherwise, we are not his followers. Firstly, how does God the Father feel about his Son? The Father loves the Son deeply and passionately. He cherishes him above all. You see that in John 3:35. As far as the Father is concerned, there is no one like his Son. He is the apple of his eye. He watches over him. He holds him in loving and tender embrace. Nothing is too good for his Son. We are told the Father entrusts all things to his Son, including all judgment. Let me read John chapter 5, verse 19 to 23. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the like manner." In the like manner. I repeat that. In the like manner. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. But as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." When it is necessary to choose a Savior for lost mankind, and there was no man righteous, God the Father chose to send his own Son to embrace both human nature and a physical body to redeem man from his sin. He sent his Son into the world to be a savior of the world. And in this the Father has decided. All things will be consummated in his Son. As far as the Father is concerned, the Son is so important, so central to all that the Father is, that unless a man receives the Son, he cannot come to the Father. I repeat. Unless a man receives the Son, he cannot come to the Father. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 3:36. How does the Son feel about the Father? The Son of God loves and reveres his Father, honoring him in all things and above all things, and chooses to only and ever live for his Father. He came into the world in obedience to his Father and lived his whole life upon the earth in that same submitted obedience. He was totally surrendered to the will of the Father. He said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." John 6:38. For the Son, the Father is the center of all things. Jesus remarked in John 5:30, "By myself I can do nothing, for I seek not to please myself, but to please him who sent me." In teaching his followers, Jesus constantly pointed them to the Father. Constantly pointed them to the Father. He would spend many hours in prayer, long nights in lonely prayer meetings, seeking his Father. And he longed for the day when he would return to his Father in glory. "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." John 17:1. At the end of the age, all things shall find their consummation in Christ, the Son of God. But when God the Father has made all things subject to Christ, then Christ shall submit all things, including himself, to his Father. So we see that the Father and the Son are totally devoted to one another. There is no independence, no personal agenda, no private action. Each is completely one with the other. Bless the Lord. That's the model we want here at GMDS. Come on, some of you are getting there, but we want that model fully expressed, visible, and on display. Now, this is not only the nature of God, it's also the nature of the fellowship into which Christ has called us, you and I, as believers, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Are not called to independence or unilateral action, but we are called to find oneness. I repeat, oneness, not only with Christ, but with each other too. This greatly clarifies something we must understand. The intimacy and unity in fellowship that is shared by the Father and the Son is the same fellowship into which you and I are called. When the Son of God describes us as being called to complete unity, this is what he means in John 17:23. He was describing the kind of unity and relationship that exists between God the Father and God the Son. We are called to share the Father-Son nature of God. We are called to share the Father-Son nature of God. Excuse me. There are a few more things that must be said of God at this point. God is a self-determining God. He chooses for himself the kind of God he will be. God is perfect. God is holy. The Father is unchanging. And God is a three persons in one God. Do you know why God chooses to be these three persons? Because if God was only one person, he could not be perfect and could not be holy. Even if God was two persons, he could not be holy. For God to be a holy God, a perfect God, he must be three or more. Here's how to understand this. You know that the Bible says God is love in 1 John 4:16. It is not possible for God to be perfect or holy if God is not also love. In eternity, God must fellowship, or the statement is meaningless and love is powerless. If God were to be love but have no fellowship, then God would be powerless to express his nature. And so, it is not possible for God to be holy or to be love unless he lives in perfect communion with others, without division and without independence or independence. There must be a perfect union. And this union is a union between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The spirit of sonship embodies certain attitudes, beloved, certain values and certain actions. Principally, this is an attitude or grace we hold in our hearts towards other people, as well as being an attitude of heart towards God. At the heart of the universe is the Father-Son relationship. Everything that has been made through that Father-Son relationship, including your salvation on the cross and the shed blood of Christ. That shed blood only has power for you because a certain son had a certain relationship with a certain father and walked in it forever. In that, if that relationship did not exist, you could not be saved. At the heart of the cosmos is this father-son relationship. And everything comes forth from that. Your eternal security comes from that. Your welfare comes from that. The fact that your name is written in heaven. The fact that you can believe your sins have been forgiven. And that you will live forever with Christ is dependent on one thing and one thing only. That a certain son walks with a certain father and walks with him forever. We ought to thank God for such a father and a son. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19 and verse 21. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19 and verse 21. This is what it says. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This people I have formed for myself, says the Lord. They shall declare my praise. For myself, my praise. Every new season of God ushers in refreshing truths and a fresh emphasis in the ministry. This freshness comes with the availability of a new grace. This is needed to raise a new, vibrant generation through mentoring and fathering. Gone are the days where we come together just to listen to a teaching and have no application, no meditation, and no witness to that which comes as revelation from the Father. We are going to be severely judged, beloved, if we have no respect, no time, no capacity, and no seriousness for the Word of God and for the one who brings the Word to us. The new generation will no more be mentorless or fatherless like before. Under their mentors and fathers, they become the new breed that recognizes the mandate of Joshua, that beats the heartbeat of David, that embraces the boldness of Elijah, that carries the persistence of Nehemiah, that possesses the aggressiveness of Paul, and at the same time, submitting humbly to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just because someone has led you to the Lord, It does not mean he is your mentor or spiritual father. He is just your midwife. Just because you have a pastor over you, it does not mean that he is your mentor or spiritual father. If you are not willing to submit to him, then he's only your caretaker. If you just want to be a member of the church, then he's only your shepherding pastor. Just because someone has impressed you with his ministry and is close to you, it does not mean he's your mentor or spiritual father. He's only your spiritual hero. Just because someone can open doors for you in the ministry, it does not mean he's your mentor or spiritual father. He's only the doorman for your ministry. Just because someone has been promoting and speaking well of you, it does not mean he's your mentor or spiritual father. He's only your promoter. Just because someone has been speaking to you like a father, does not mean that he is your mentor or father. He's only a father figure to you. Knowing your mentor and spiritual father in a true covenanted relationship is necessary for the fulfillment of divine calling and accessing the blessings of Father. I say that again. Knowing your mentor and spiritual father in a true covenanted relationship is necessary for the fulfillment of divine calling and accessing the blessings of God the Father. This does not mean that Ivan Appana is the final authority. Christ is the final authority. A spiritual father will never replace the authority of Scripture. Fatherhood on the earth is simply a confirmation of our Father which art in heaven. If Ivan Appana builds around himself and his personality, then this is not from above. There is a solemn responsibility for Ivan Appana to build GMDS as a family of sons. That is a model in the heart of Abba Father. Ivan Appana is just a representative father who has been called to represent Heavenly Father to GMDS. Now, beloved, this is a serious and a sovereign responsibility. I must confess, like many pastors, I was pastoring most of you, mentoring some of you, but fathering few of you. During this lockdown, I have seen my inadequacies and frailties, and with serious reconsideration, have decided to live my life model after the son and how he related to his father. These are the last days, and our Lord is coming soon. We must be very intentional on how we build this culture in our GMDS family. You must now be willing and ready to submit to this. I must avail myself in total reverence, fathering the household of God. We must be in this together, beloved. I submit to you that I'm willing to lay my life down for you if you're also submitted to the plan of God. You can no longer just be a member of GMDS. That is exactly what Abba Father is adjusting right now. Our Father is methodical. He's not chaotic. If we want to be prosperous, both spiritually and naturally, then we must endeavor to know and function within his divine order. I have three closing scriptures that I want to read to you, telling you exactly how I want to operate this ministry, how I want to operate my life, how I want to execute the plan of God for my life going forward. We are 106 days in lockdown. I'm sure many, if not all of you, have taken some time during this 106 days and sat down and reassessed your life, done a forensic audit on your lives, have looked intently in every sphere of your lives, have done looked at your life from every corner, and have taken stock. And if you are totally happy with your life, there's something wrong. There are areas of your life, as also in my life, that I've taken stock of. And this is what I've come to in conclusion. This is what I want. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, the latter part, the B part. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, just as he is, in the heavens, so I want to be in this world. Every character trait that he possesses in the heavens, so these traits must be present in my life. I must embody them. I must reflect them. I must imbibe them. I must embrace them. I must then showcase them, reflect them in this world as I live as a servant of God. 1 John 3:10, whoever does not practice righteousness, which is the standard of God the Father in every sphere of my existence. If I do not practice this standard of righteousness, then I'm not from God. I am not from God. That's sad, isn't it? That's it. If I do not practice righteousness, then I'm not from God. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So there are some important things that are common in these three verses. I want to be, it's a doing part. I want to be like him as he is, so I want to be in this world. Secondly, I want to practice his standard for my life. I want to practice righteousness in my personal life, in my thought life, in my secret life. There must be righteousness in my leading you as a servant of God. I must be righteous in the administration of the various spheres of my life, my marriage, my money, my manlihood. I must be righteous in the way I deal with people. I must be righteous in the way I communicate and relate with one another, with other people. I must be righteous. Yes, I want the standard of God. And thirdly, I want to lay down my life for you as Christ laid down his life for me. I have chosen to lay my life down for you, to mentor you, to father you, to hold various sessions, to teach you, to train you, to correct you, to discipline you. All of these things are part of the mentoring process, to coach you into your destiny. This is my role for you, beloved. I pray that this message that I've preached today will go home, that you will take this to heart, and that you will be blessed. May God touch you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday as you fellowship in your family, with your family, in your various homes. Bless you.